Turn this all the way down. Boom. Yo, 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 my people, what is up? We back on the Swervin' Podcast. Took a little mid-season summer hiatus. It's episode 9, so you know we were diving well into it. Summertime's here, grinding with the baseball, grinding with the Third Eye Review. And we got a great guest, a great friend from St. Louis. We got Murphy Wells in here, the Daily Murph on IG. Glad to have you, buddy. How you doing?
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me, man.
Hey, great. I like the intro song. Different from the rap, so I like to spread around and get different genres. Great pick.
I was really racking my brain with, like, what is something that, like, people would be like, yeah, that sounds like a song that defines him, and just kind of like the group chant, the loud guttural let's go, and then kind of like the heavy Fall Out Boy vibe to it. Mm-hmm. It's a day to remember. They'd be like, yeah, that's him.
Fall Out, I would say back when I was getting into the rock and stuff, because we had like the Roller Zone, the skate rink around here, so we'd have that like late night skate and all that, and you'd be skating to Fall Out Boy and all that. That was actually one of the first albums I bought. So back when people were going to Walmart and buying the albums, This Ain't a Scene, it was that one with that album. It had the sheep on the front and stuff.
Infinity on High. And here's a problem of shopping for CDs at Walmart. They only sell them censored.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no cuss words?
Nah, but they'll release you those bullshit-ass albums of their employees getting together and doing hit songs and whatnot. You're like, so this is why the lanes are never open. Y'all making mixtapes and shit.
Right. How you been, though, man? How's your summer been?
My summer's been good.
Been traveling, I've seen.
I still feel like I'm recovering from Vegas. It's... Summer for me now is like festival season, and that has been an adjustment over the last year. I like don't go out. I don't like to like spend money on frivolous little stuff. I like travel. I like experience. I like loud EDM bass, right, and stuff like that. So summer's been full of travel. I'm about to head to Virginia Beach next week.
Nice down there.
I've never been.
Really? Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. It's a Navy town, but there's a lot of like them Navy people can drink and know how to party. So there's some cool bars down there and stuff. So it's a good vibe.
Yeah.
You going to a festival again?
No, actually. My homie, shout out to my homie Eric Hines. He followed his dreams and he opened up his own gym about a year ago. And it's their 1 year anniversary. He's like, hey, would you come down and celebrate, but also, you know, do some content for the thing? I'm like, well, yeah, bro. Like, that's awesome. So
that's lit.
A lot of travel, a lot of live music, a lot of work.
Supporting your people.
Always.
Yeah. That's what's up, man. And how you been other than that? Festivals, you've been in the picture game, grinding in that on the contents and all that with the camera. Upgrading, I see, since the last time I saw you. So all things are good, man.
Yeah, man. Dude, I'm blessed. And I'm not going to say, like, it's always good and it's always easy.
No, it's not.
This has probably been the hardest year of my life, short of, you know, me getting in trouble when I was younger. Just because, I'm sure we'll get into all the nitty-gritty details of it. But, like, if you're going to decide to go do something, like,
can't half-ass it.
No half sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I was guilty of it for a few months. Like, I was like, dude, man, you know, you're better than this. So I'm now not half sending it. It's catching up with me. I'm tired. But, like, you know, this pressure is a privilege.
7 months into the year, how would you say the mindset is? And I would say always evolving with how you are right now, you know, not settling to where you can be. So how's the mindset?
The mindset is, like, I'm very hungry and I'm very like focused in the moment. I restarted 75 hard. I'm actually on day 24 today. I started out at the beginning of the year saying I'm going to hurt a lot of. I'm allowed to swear, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a swearing podcast. You know, we're all adults.
I always like to ask. I never assume. At the beginning of the year, I was like, I'm going to hurt a motherfucker's feelings.
Right.
And then I ended up getting my feelings hurt because I was like, all right, cool. I'm on top of my shit. I was not as on top of my shit as I thought I was going to be. And so now that I'm like, I don't want to say I'm clawing my way back, but I'm getting my standard right and I'm not accepting any bullshit from myself. I'm in a very hungry yet humble place. I got some people who I've been talking some smack to about certain different things, and I'm preparing to come to the table correct. Still going to talk a little bit of smack, but I'm prepared to win right now, man. You know, what about you?
I would say that, you know, I'm feeling I'm feeling about right, you know, but there's always, like, I wake up with a new, I feel like every day is just its own journey, new day, you know. I don't wake up with, you know, the task of I got to do stuff besides, you know, the money making things. But other than that, I just kind of go with the flow, man, just kind of seeing where life takes me, saying no a lot less to things and kind of just, you know, risking more and getting uncomfortable to get comfortable. So I'm rocking with 2023 a lot. I feel like I'm in the mindset of where I need to be a foreman to be a great man, you know.
So. I'm rocking with this year a lot more than I have been like the other years of 2020. Like,
yeah,
the end of the early 2020s, I think we're actually going out on a really good note. Obviously, there's infighting in our country and there's always going to be problems and tragedies. But like, I feel like as far as like how I'm feeling about how I'm doing, this has been my favorite year of the 2020s.
For sure. So far. For sure. And I got, dude, this year has been like the biggest wake up on that. Like, I'm big on like what I got going on. Cause like, once you focus on like your inner mental and, you know, what you got going on and stuff, man, all the other things just seem to fall in line, like your friend circles, like the shit you got going on and stuff. So I've just been focused on that a lot more. My peace at the end of the day, you know, I'm good. My money, you know, just my situations at home, you know, my girlfriend and all that, just small shit like that, you know, just being happy. And, you know, the things with like family and all that, like, I just being happy within myself just grows within everybody. Like, me and my dad's got the best communication we've had in a long time and stuff. So kind of just rock. I'm just rocking, you know. I'm just 25 is a great age.
25 is also a really tough age.
It is. It's both, you know. Like, the first of the year, I was questioning like things I needed to do, but I really didn't need to change much. Just work a little harder, you know.
Here's the thing. Like, I'm 30 and I don't feel 30. I feel like I'm like 19 still. I don't know why. Like, I have tattoos. I have felonies.
You look it for sure. You look like 20, you know, 23.
It's because I don't drink that much anymore. Like, when I was 19, I was chugging. And I was drinking a lot of Hen. You know, I was drinking a lot of stuff, you know, you don't want to wake up from the next day. But, like, the thing I've learned about this period of life and where you're at, it's in a really, really cool position, is that, like, your early 20s, it's time to party. It's time to lose it. It's time to go crazy. It's time to literally see, like, man, you know, I'm getting off the front porch. You know, I'm like, I'm leaving the house. I'm leaving my mom's basement.
I'm getting the feet wet.
Yeah. The pool is cold.
Yeah.
Your mid-20s is, like, when you actually have to see, like, what it's like to be an adult, though. Like, yeah, you might have been paying bills. You might have, you know, caught up some fees or whatever when you was in your early 20s. Your mid-20s is like, holy shit, like, I'm not little no more. I'm grown.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when that quarter life crisis shit starts. That was probably that feeling you was having.
It was. It really was. I was just like, damn, bro. It's just like, am I going to be behind in years? Like, you know, my 10-year class reunion comes up in 5 years. Like, I was kind of just like, I wasn't even in the field with everybody that, like, you know, I just want to be okay within myself. You know, I don't want to be catching up at 30 at all.
Bro.
So the sacrifice, if, you know, if I got to go umpire 13 baseball games, go make a grand in 2 days and not work 9 to 5 all week at Walmart, shit, I'll do that. You know, I'm comfortable within myself and I'm happy with what I got going on. You know, I'm not going to ump a baseball game like, damn, I hate this fucking job. You know, mm-hmm. I enjoy it. The kids and stuff are the best, and that's why I'm always leaving. Hey, Blue, you're the best. You know, like, you know, I don't even go to it looking like that, you know, but I'm enjoying myself, you know, so that goes a long way with everything. So
absolutely. And I resonated a lot because, like, about the time I turned 25, I saw this. It wasn't really a meme. It was just like a reference. And it was a picture of Will Smith from Fresh Prince. And it was just two simple little slides. And it was him saying, I don't know, man, what if I never make it? And that, like, that hit me, because that's like the entire feeling of like what your mid-20s is. But and spoiler alert, this is like where you're like, oh, fuck yeah, I have something to like really look forward to, too, because, like, it's being co-signed right now. From 25 and 26, that shit is so new and so hard for what it is. That's the end of your quarter life crisis. And then when you get to about 27, you get to resume, like, having fun, but it's because you've cleaned up a lot of the messes from your early 20s, and now you know don't make those same mistakes twice. But you got to, like, you got to be constructive about getting shit done before you turn 30.
Oh, 100%.
So, like, that's what my late 20s was. That's when I moved back to St. Louis. So I hope that fills you with excitement, not only just for the rest of your mid-20s, but, like, to get into that late 20s shit.
And that leads into the next question I had, like, STL and you and, like, growing up here. Like, what was growing up here and, like, what made you leave and come back?
Well, I was born on the Hill. I love everything about South St. Louis.
It's a great spot.
It's so unique, man. And I'm clearly a stunt double from The Sopranos. I talk with my hands, gabagool. I love everything about South St. Louis, though. And I was spent my formative years, like, so from the time I was born to, like, the time I was three, my mom worked on the Hill, a little restaurant that's no longer there. Dumbasses.
The Italian one?
It was called Mr. B's, and it was a.
I haven't been there.
And it's been closed for about 12 years now. And like three other restaurants took its place, and none of them held a candle to it. But my mom worked there most of her life. I was raised there. And then she moved me out to the county when I was about three until about the time I originally left for college, so 3 to 18. And I went to Melville, and, you know, I get it. It's the Springfield of St. Louis high schools. I get it. But it was cool. I got a really good public education. I learned how to essentially just, like, do normal people shit, and I grew up like a normal kid.
Right.
But then about the time I turned 18, and I want to credit one of my best friends from high school, no way correlated with me smoking weed for the first time when I was 18. You know, I was a really, really well-behaved little kid. Like, I was polite. I could bullshit. Yeah,
smoking weed at 18, that's kind of late. I was like 15.
So I had a couple years of bullshit to catch up on.
Yeah.
And that 2 years turned into like 5 years. And so my entire scheme of like going away to college was actually, no, I'm just going to party my ass off and I'm going to hustle. And that's when I went to Springfield. I went to Missouri State. I got into
the spot. Woo, on fire.
If you are trying to have fun on the cheap, there is no better place, especially if you are young and ratchet. I had to look at the camera.
Oh, my God. 8 a.m. tailgates.
Kegs and eggs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, people would be showing up to class drunk. And, bro, I
had the boogie bowl when you were there.
Oh, hell yeah, we had the boogie bowls. You can get diabetes from the boogie bowl.
Oh, my God. Bro, seven people can drink out of that, and you guys are going to be have a great night.
My homie, who will probably be the best man at my wedding, his name is Michael McMillan, and he was one of the bartenders, him and Jacob Gapsch. And the amount of booze we pilfered through, the amount of boogie bowls, the amount of shots of Patron, bro, this was like, in 2016, was like peak bad Murph. And so those boogie bowls, not only do they bring up like feelings of regurgitation, but like all the bullshit I committed on those fucking things. And like I started getting sloppy around like 2016 because I was getting into deeper shit. It was tough because
I know.
You get addicted to the lifestyle. Like, yeah, I was abusing drugs.
It's a whole lifestyle.
It is. And the fast money is the thing that really gets you because you're like, oh, this is going to last forever. No, it ain't. I got in trouble, and then I really had to, like, hunker down for, like, the next 3 years, and that was actually when my quarter-life crisis started.
So you're about 26?
I got in trouble at 23. I started doing all the probation shit, like, full swing at, like, 24.
And that shit's a headache, man, ain't it?
Oh, yeah. Because you had to stop hustling, and you had to start working a regular job.
That, checking in, all that stuff, it's just...
Pee and clean. I wasn't clean, though.
Yeah, me neither. I had a cool PO, though, you know?
Oh, cool PO. I was still passing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, like, they didn't know that.
So, like, what was the wake-the-fuck-up Murph moment?
That's
why you had to leave Missouri?
That's why. No. I left Missouri State because I was getting comfortable with the standard that I was living at that. The wake-the-fuck-up Murph moment was, like, I looked in the mirror, and I could see my dad's resemblance in me. And when my dad was my age at the time, he was involved in a lot of worse shit. And, like, I could see his face coming through in the mirror. And I was like, I don't want to be him because my birth father, I don't really hold in high esteem. I don't hate the guy by any means, but like he just made a lot of mistakes and a lot of bad decisions, especially when it came to like his relationship with my mom. And when I started seeing more and more him, and I was like, bro, people are like leaving my college town. You know, they got prospects. They've been working their asses off. And what do I got? I got a couple felonies and no money to my name. I'm worried about going to prison. My mom is crying every day. I don't have any love interest that's worth a damn. I'm fat. I'm out of shape. I was like, all right, it's time to get my shit together. It's time to do what really scares me. And that was settling in with the idea of doing the things that normal people did. Because, I got high off the fact that I was paying my bills.
That's all it takes.
I would look at people who had been sweating away their lives for 40
free rent.
Years.
Free rent.
Preach.
And so, I know how it is.
But for what it was worth, those 3 years really made me because, like, I got in shape. I took my fat ass to the gym, which was the scariest thing for me. I was about 225. I'm 5'8". None of it was muscle. I had a diet of pizza, drugs, and hen. So it showed. But like when you start taking that step to better yourself, all right, cool. I worked multiple jobs at one time while being full-time in school. I stopped doing hard drugs. I still smoked weed. Like I still drank a little bit, but that started to diminish too.
Weed just hasn't came around to the notice yet back then. Like 2016, people were still like, oh, you smoke weed? So I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, I'm more productive high than most people are stone cold sober. My friend, you know, Mark Joe's like, man, yeah. Remember this shit, like when you smoke weed, I can dream if I can do it. You know, that's what Mark sounds like too.
Yeah.
But it was about like 2016, I got my shit together. I was actually just stable, living a regular job, but about 2019 I decided to move back because I looked at my surroundings And I was like, you know, like Springfield's cool. It's cheap. You can get by on not very much. But I was like,
it's a black hole though.
Man, like when you start noticing the clubs and the bars you go to and the people get younger and younger and you stay like getting older, it's time to go.
Yeah.
And so I booked out. I stayed in my mom's basement for about 6 months on some old lawn furniture because I couldn't afford to bring my bed back or buy a bed. I started working at the warehouse at First Form. I was there for about a year. And then basically I've been back.
So you started at the bottom there, huh?
Yeah, no, I met up with a homie of mine. It was before I decided to move back. And he was like, bro, look, I know it looks like fun and fitness and social media. Like, that's all they do. But he goes, you're going to be working in a warehouse. You're making $12 an hour. I need you there at 5 a.m., 6 to 7 days a week. He thought he was going to scare me off. I was like, bet. He goes, all right, cool. And I got a room for you, too. I'm like, all right, yeah. Let's go. And I was all right with it because I'm like, what the fuck do I got to lose?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I've been back ever since. I mean, look, I love everything about maybe not everything about St. Louis. I love
some things.
Yeah, I love most things about St. Louis. I've always said it's like a melting pot of the best and worst parts of like Chicago, Memphis, and New Orleans.
That's a great way to put it.
It really is. It's got like that small kind of country feel, but at the same time, it's like smack dab in the middle of everything. We're a big sports city. We got to make some changes to some of the sports in this city.
Mm-hmm.
But more on that later.
But yeah, I could agree with you there. St. Louis is a great melting spot, and I live down here in St. Francis County about 45, 50 minutes down the highway, and this is like my hideaway on the front porch, you know. Mm-hmm. Just go on my front porch, chill, no one's going to walk in front of me and shit.
Yeah.
So this is like where I find a getaway. But that's dope, bro. Like everyone has that overcoming story, but you had that deep overcoming story that you could really get stuck in. You know, it's easy to get stuck in that life.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And I know some friends still living that life.
Yeah, bro, it piece of advice to anyone who's living that life. The point I was about to make is, like, I mean, the journey isn't over. I still have a lot of bad habits I'm trying to conquer. I still have a lot of faults and imperfections. Just because you will never be perfect, don't let perfect be the enemy of good or great. Like, the thing is, if you're trying to get out of that life, you can't keep looking at what is or what was. You've got to really invest in what will be, and that's scary because you look at normal people who aren't paying their bills, hustling or being fucked up all the time. You're like, no, I like what I'm doing. Nah, you give it a couple more years, you won't.
Mm-hmm.
Embrace. Mm-hmm. Embrace that new shit.
Yeah, I just, bro, I was this time at the bar. Like, it was probably like New Year's, around New Year's and stuff. And that's like real, I was really trying to like, you know, start questioning like how I wanted to live. Like, just start dating her and stuff and just was going out to the bar. And I was like, bro, like, people literally go out to the bar to get drunk and then see who they're going home with. Like, that vibe is just old. Like, this is not me, you know? And then waking up and you got an $80 fine on your head and let's do it again Saturday. Like, no, that's just not me. And, like, you know, a lot of people do that week to week. And I just had to be okay with, you know, I'm okay with a lot of self time right now, like going to work, working the weekends. Like, that's cool. You know, the time people are declining, I'm incoming. So,
yeah.
And I'm okay. So, It'll be greater later, you know.
Absolutely.
I'm just vibing. I'm vibing for sure.
Good for you.
That's later in the Q&A. We'll get to that. Who was Murph, you know, in front of the lens, not the photographer? I guess that was just kind of like your older years, but who are you right now? Would you say that you're more into yourself right now, or you got some more like growing to do? And like, what's something people might not know about you?
I have endless amounts of growing to do. For me right now, my big theme is like patience. I'm very impatient. If you're ever in a car with me and there's someone in front of me that's slow,
I'm the same way.
On the way here, I got caught behind the same two people, and I, like, you can't see past them country roads. You don't want to be, you know, passing nobody, and then
mm-hmm.
You know, as far as like who I am, you ever seen the movie Anger Management?
Is that De Niro?
No, it's Jack Nicholson and Adam Sandler.
Nope, I need to see it.
He asks him the question. He's like, who are you? And he starts going through, like, you know, his name. He goes, I didn't ask who your name was. I asked, who were you? And he goes through everything. He's trying to get a rise out of him. So whenever someone asks me, like, who I am, I always get PTSD at that moment. As far as who I really am, man, like, dude, I'm 30. I started my business this year, which is media productions, photography, videography. I still have a very close personal relationship with First Form. I enjoy doing jujitsu when I'm not bullshitting, which is always. Still a big advocate for medical marijuana. And basically the thing that I am trying to, I guess the who I am, the essence of my being, is I try to show average people that they have no excuses. I was a C average student. I'm a convicted felon for drug possession. I dropped out of college. Yet I have my own residence. I run my own business. I'm projected to do better than I was doing at my job.
Not in jail.
Not in jail, not in prison, not dead. I could be uglier. But that's my big thing. I don't like people giving themselves the outs of like, oh, well, it's easy for so-and-so. And it's like, dude, I know millionaires and billionaires who started in worse places than me. So that is kind of the essence of who I am. You can catch me, yes, at your local festival. If you have never gone to a festival, do it.
I want
to
go with you.
All right, strap in.
When are you going again?
Well, there's going to be Chicago. It's going to be North Coast. That was the first festival I ever went to with Mark and Matt and Grace and a few of them. And, bro, it totally changed my life.
When are you going? Are you going?
It's Labor Day. Yeah, I'm going. It's Labor Day.
It's Labor Day. When's that?
First weekend in September.
I was going to say September. I'll go.
Long week. All right, cool.
I'll go, for real.
Bet.
All right.
It's going to be fun.
Okay.
It's going to be long.
Okay. I like long.
Do you like EDM?
I will like it.
All right.
I got some things that make me will like it, so.
There you go.
I'm in. I know how to have a good time.
Yeah, bro. Like, that's the thing. I love live music, and there's nothing quite like it, just because when you go to, like, a festival or, like, a show, like, you know, some people are there to have fun. Like, people go to, like, weekend-long festivals, and they totally let their real selves out. And you don't have to wear anything weird if you don't want to. Like, my last romantic interest, like, do I have to wear the outfits? I'm like, what do you mean the outfits? She goes, the ones where people are basically naked. I'm like, no, you don't have to wear that shit. But no, dude, it's an amazing time. And the thing is like, I really grossly underestimated it. And then Mark Joe is like, Merv, you don't know what you're missing. It's going to be fire.
That's some Blackberry Moon Rock, by the way.
It works. I approve. But I mean, as far as the question of who I am, that's really it. I try to show average people that's not an excuse. And I mean, if you want it to be an excuse, then you're going to be a bum.
I like that. Like, that's why I fucked with you from the jump. You're just real and like, you know, a vibe. Like, you didn't really come in the room, oh, I'm this kind of person that can do this and that. You just like kind of vibe, catch the vibe. And, that's what the world really needs, you know, just like more people that you got to hear people out, you know, and just get the vibe with people. I feel like a lot of people, and not to take any knocks, but like that come from, where you did come from, mm-hmm. like kind of just feel like they're too good. And I'm like, you're not one of them people.
No.
And I appreciate that.
Thank you. I try to stay humble.
There's a lot of them people out there, bro.
Yes.
That are like on the same tier as us, but like act like they're that.
And that's why they'll never be where they want to be. You can fake it till you make it, but like faking it is not the best way to do anything. Mm-hmm. It's really not. You got to be part of who I am is like, I'm very critical of like, contemporary events, politics, and you know, what's going on here and now. In order for you to be critical of anything, like, you got to be 100 with yourself. I ain't perfect. I got a lot of flaws. I got a lot of things people can call out about me. I got to be prepared for that. I have people call me out on shit that's totally besides the point. Okay, well, if I'm gonna sit here and
they just want to, like, yeah, I feel like they can. It's a trump card to you. Yeah. I know that. I hate that feeling.
But here's the thing: you have more feelings than I do,
yep.
And mine are pretty much dead as it is. I'm better at hurting feelings than you are.
And you're doing something right if someone's worried about you.
Yeah, for some reason. But basically, that's kind of the thing that, like, I'm on is, like, I don't think, like, I'm better than anybody, but I know who I am enough to, like, try to be as real as possible with people. And most people are very apologetic about who they are, and that is why they walk around with this sense of, like, guilt and shame and, like, they don't get anything done. It's because you don't know who the fuck you are.
Exactly. Can't even get real with yourself.
Nah.
Nah. And that's why I vibe with you, bro. Like, there's just a lot of, you know, it's hard. It's even hard to have a simple conversation with some people because, like, they're just too into themselves and, you know, feel like they, you know, can't get outside themselves to connect with you, mm-hmm. real page.
If all you have to talk about is yourself, no one is interested.
There's a lot of people out there like that.
Bro, again, pro tip. If you want to get good at talking to people, don't talk about you. Ask about them because they will fucking ask about you. Because they're like, man, I'm tired of talking about my fucking self. What's going on with this dude? And then they're enthusiastic mm-hmm. about hearing about you because you were, like, interested in them. So that's a big major key to life.
Question for me.
All right. So when we met back in February of this year.
Yep.
All right. So it's July. It's been about 5 months. What's the biggest thing that you've learned as a creator in that time? Because there's a thing about the cold months in the Midwest, it's really when you're like on the down and outs. And, you know, that's when I was just starting my business, is right when we met. And just hearing how you've evolved in that time, like, what have been the biggest things that you've learned in terms of, and obviously, like, we talked about, like, you know, being into yourself, being able to say no to people, but like, as a creator, what have you learned most?
Man, I've learned that, cause I'm a big, like, studier of, like, I'm just a big studier of creativity. You know, that's why I love movies. Why I watch a lot. I wake up, watch a lot of YouTube, like golf vlogs and all that stuff. I like people that can just bring their own self and bring it how they, you know, how they're themselves. They're not trying to be someone else that, and it's got them that, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've just always been appreciative of that. And that's like, I've just been in the down slumps of when I started this, of having 12 views and 10 views, 5 views. And it's just like, you know, really like, man, why am I doing this? You know, and I had to get into like that real question of, you know, I naturally enjoy that. I just naturally enjoy the vibe of creating podcasts and sitting down talking with you. You know, even if we didn't have this, we could sit down and have this conversation off the mics, a couple blunts, and we'd still have it. But this is just me, you know. Why not bring it to life and show people what, you know, we're talking about? Because they can leave with some real shit at the end of the day, you know. Mm-hmm. Even though it's laughs and shit. But at the end of the day, just sitting down and just being me and just not being anything extra, you know, just getting outside of myself and just consistency grinding and stuff. But the balance of it all, you know, I can go have great guests, 8 episodes, but hey, I need to take a three week break to make it even better, you know, line up the guests and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's always just playing into the future, you know, and just not comparing. So just sticking to your grind and sticking to you and trusting the process. Everything's a process, but have a balance, you know, don't stress yourself out. And that's really what I learned about it. And that's why I would say I can enjoy it. You know, I just on my own time, you know, no one's like, oh, do this, do that. Can I come on the pod and stuff? Like, I'm going and asking them and stuff. And, you know, I enjoy it. It's my thing that I've brought up, and it's 5 seasons and stuff. And, you know, things that nothing gets handed to you. You know, you got to put work in everything. And I've learned that through the podcast. So
you go back and watch those original Joe Rogan episodes that he put on tape. And he just crossed like 2,000.
Oh, it's crazy.
But you look at how he started.
Yes.
Like, bro, it was one of those little webcams, the standalone webcams, and you would have to like prop it up there, and it was like in 240p. Ugh. But it's like, man, that's where he started.
Yeah.
What he's doing right now.
Yeah.
Making that $100 million a year from freaking Spotify.
And I don't even care about that. And, you know, small things are coming like that. Like, people I fuck with, like, gonna get, shout out Immortal Inc. Like, you know, he's gonna give me a tat for it, no matter the price, but he knows that I got the voice and I'm gonna have a pie with him and all that. And, but, you know, brand his tattoo company for, you know, 6 months for, you know, my price. And that shit, you know, that shit that I want to work towards and that naturally comes with it. And that helps me not working a 9-to-5 corporate job and certain that's enjoy the life.
Yeah.
So the process is a process, but it makes me comfortable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I enjoy what I'm doing.
Time under pressure.
Yeah, for sure. And it took a risk, you know. You know, I was in that time of that COVID fucking grocery shopping, you know, being the OGP and shit, but I just had that moment where I was like, bro, I don't want to do a 9-to-5. Like, I'm just so much bigger than that. Like, I want to wake up and go have a podcast at 11 a.m. and not have to call out of work and go golf if I want to before. And, like, you know, I want to take a risk on that. So, you know, if I got to hustle in, I want to hustle the legal way. Like, I don't want to sell weed. So start cleaning cars and stuff, because I know how to talk and present myself. So I use that in a different way as well, like detailing cars. Not everyone's hitting me up to clean a car, you know. And I got that at my price, you know, that pays me well. And that's why I love umpiring and do it well, because, you know, I never know who's going to be out there. I could be umpiring for the league commissioner's son one day, and he'd be like, hey, man, you do a great job. Like, come up. So yeah, that's why I just do 100% and everything. Like, no half cents, you know, no half cents.
None. It's a great philosophy to live by.
Yeah, and I just love it.
And also, like, you know, it doubles like when you're partying and you ain't have something. You know?
That's, and that leads to my next question with you. Like, so obviously you were with, like, and if you don't want to talk about it, that's fine. But, like, you were with First Form at a point, like, what's the story on that? Like, why'd you venture out and, like, take the risk on yourself?
Sure. Let me begin by saying, like, I am forever indebted to some people. Andy Frisella, Sal Frisella, Cody Klein, Jack Celeslie, Aaron Summers, Will Grumke, Jared Connell. And there's more. There are definitely more people like JB. The thing that I really gained there was a sense of purpose, and it's
like drive.
Yeah. It wasn't just the fact that, cause I've always been a hard worker. Even when I hustled hard, but like it's the belief in what you're doing and why you're doing it that was missing. That's why it was so easy for me to get into like drugs. Okay. Well, like the thing was is that the purpose was money.
Right.
That's a really short high though, because you're always in danger and pausing for the cause. As far as like
I've never heard that. That's hilarious.
Oh, for real?
That's hilarious.
I learned that in Springfield. Thank you very much. But as far as like when I started getting out of trouble, the purpose was, all right, keep your fat ass out of jail. You know, fucking Tony Soprano stunt double looking motherfucker. But then like when I got to first form, it was because you understand that like when you do the right thing happens. And when you see like what Andy and Chris Klein went through creating their businesses, like it inspires you to create your own shit. But I started entry level because I was like, oh, I don't know what I want to do for myself. I don't have any skills or talents that are marketable. So I was like, I'm a hard ass worker. The qualification here is work hard. So I did. I started entry level. I was in that for 11 months. I went from packing boxes on the line to handling stuff for customer service to being linchpin to a guy who I mentioned earlier, Cody. And he really told me the ropes. I was like, Cody, what should I want to do here? He goes, your job should be to be as good as what you fucking do. So there's no choice but to move you. I was like, all right, cool. Because you want to get out of entry level.
Yeah.
You want to get out of making $12 an hour.
You're not an average guy.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And you see what the people are doing. And I wanted to move into more of a sales role. And Cody has been Andy's most tenured dude for like 15, 16 years. And so he has gone through the shit. And he took me aside and he's like, here's how you win. Do what I say. Make my job easier. Work your fucking ass off. And you will get exactly where you want to be. I did those things. I asked no questions. The dude is one of my favorite people in the entire world because not only did he teach me the grind and hustle of a new professional level I did not think was possible for me, but he led me into a world of learning sales and business and being such a people person that, like, those are the skills
people you first.
People first. People make the party, bro. The mission is people-centric. When you invest in people, like, change their lives, and that was a lot of what I did. Like, what I did largely for 2.5 years after that was, like, a mix of sales and coaching and brand building. Like, you are a freaking mascot of the company in a lot of cases, and I mean that in the most endearing sense. Like, people recognize you for being a part of First Form because you're touching so many lives across the country, which is a beautiful thing. You're helping people lose weight. You're helping people build businesses. You're helping people realize their biggest dreams ever, and it is a full-time lifestyle. It is tough, and it is really rewarding. And you see a small fraction of what the people before you did, and they were doing a lot with just a dream and like some elbow grease. And when I started picking up a camera, which was actually about a year and a quarter ago, so like
COVID,
actually 2/3 of the way through COVID, it was last May is when I ordered my first camera. I started taking it to festivals. I started shooting our team events. And everyone was just like, dude, you've been doing this a while, haven't you? I'm like, no. I was surrounded by great content creators. Shout out to my dudes, Jonah. You are my favorite dude from Milwaukee I've ever met in my life. You are a goon. You're my slime. Shit. I love him. Dude is the most fun-loving guy ever. My dude, Dave Mullis, who's the go-to photography. Alan Lubers, Morgan Walmart. All these guys, Chaz, y'all took me aside and you showed me how to use a camera. And when I really started going away to, I went to EDC Orlando with my homie Matt Joe, who also has been a big brother to me. Shout out to you, bro. I love you so much.
I'd love to have podcasts with both of them.
They're great. He really like took me aside and like, hey, here's how you shoot this. And the entire trip, I just was shooting content, editing content in this really fly-ass hotel room that my friends were staying in. And I felt like I was dripped out. I'm like, man, this is what my life should be. All right, well, I got to go back to work. And just from that point forward, I started like, I wanted that feeling more and more. And it got to a point where like it invaded my workflow. I wasn't committing the same way that I had been.
That was the legal hustle.
Man. Yes. Yes. The legal hustle. And I was like, bro, I don't know if I'm going to be doing the same thing a year from now. And I hated saying that because like, it's given me so much. I've earned so much here. I've grown so much here. I work for my role model. I almost hit him with my car, but like he ain't fire me. And like he made me announce it to a whole bunch of people. But you know what? It was cool. Shout out to me not hitting Andy with my car. But eventually I had a couple smaller clients this February. And one of them said, hey, I actually think I'm going to need you way more. But it's probably going to be more of a demand than you have time to meet. So what do you say? I was like, if I say no, then I'm being a hypocrite. Because when opportunity rings you at 7 a.m. and says, hey, I need a full-time videographer, and you were just saying a few months ago, hey, I would love to be doing this full-time, you got to be okay with starting small. You got to be okay with being scared. I about shit myself when I got that text. I texted my girlfriend. I'm like, babe. She was like, whoa. She goes, this is a sign. I was like, I went and talked to him. I ended up essentially saying that same day to everybody who was my senior, I was like, hey, I think my last hurrah is like here. And it was really, really sad. And I cried for like 3 weeks. And we drug it out for like a week just to like give me time to think about it. And again, shout out to everyone at First Form. Like, they are the most human business that you will ever do business with. No one will make you fall in love with a company. I ain't gonna cry.
My bad, bro.
No, you good. I'm making fun of my damn self. But they do that shit really, really well because their heart is really in it because it is people. And so basically from that point, about late February, I was just doing business for myself. I got a couple handfuls of clients, some on-again, off-again people. It was a grind. It was a hustle. There were many nights I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pay this bill tomorrow. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I'm not going to act like it was the longest time. It was only like 3 months. But eventually I got a call from somebody, and it was someone who is of the executive team at First Form, and I saw that they were looking for a videographer for something. And I was like, man, you know, I bet it's wrong for me to apply. I just left their employ. I feel like that's me like trying to sneak back in. I got a text from the person. What are you doing? I'm like, grocery shopping? He goes, I need a videographer. And I'm like, okay. Like, that's cool with you? He's like, no, bring your camera, but you're allowed to come too. And that's also the great thing about First Form. No one will also talk to you in a more human fashion either. Like, you get treated like a person.
Right.
And it's so great. And so we sat down and we basically said, all right, here's the deal. We understand you have a business to run. We understand that you're not looking for a job, but it is work. So come back a few days a week, work on this specific term list. You still get to run your business. And it's understood that this is the thing that we're doing. And I'm like, that's fire. That's amazing. And again, they didn't have to cut me that deal. They didn't have to be like, you get to run your business and you get to have when I left, I asked them like, hey, can I be here like 3 to 4 days a week doing these specific tasks with media? And they're like, honestly, it's just not in the cards right now. All right, cool. And I accepted that. And I didn't push because I was like, you know what? If it's not acceptable, it's not acceptable right now. And then when it came around, the first person they thought of was me. When you do good things, the right things happen. And I would not have been awarded that opportunity if I had not busted my ass the way that I had done. And I'm not gloating, but it's like, you try running a half marathon in the rain at 4:30 a.m. carrying an American flag and like, tell me I don't care about the cause that I'm doing.
Right.
Not too many people can say that they've done that, but I actually do know a dude. Shout out to my dude, Billy, the Ultra Beast. This man has done 500 plus Spartan events carrying an American flag.
Damn.
500 plus.
What's a Spartan event? What's all take?
It's like an OCR. It's an obstacle course race. And like people.
It's like lifting, swimming.
You get some of those things, but you could like be like climbing across monkey bars for like, I don't know, 100 feet or some shit and like crawling a rock wall or going through this mud pit or it's just like.
Have you performed?
Hell no. I ain't doing that shit. Nah, bro. You are an animal. Animal. One of the baddest dudes ever. He was just on Fox News. Oh, man. Yeah, I told you the camera probably
died. No, you're good. I didn't know if it overheated or what happened.
Nah, it's cool.
Dude, but that's dope, though. You know, like, you took that risk on yourself, and, you know, it came back around, like in Eclipse. So it came back around, so it all paid off.
You're happy. So. I'm very happy because I tell you this. When you leave something that's like your family, even though it's your job, there are a lot of days you wonder if you did the right thing. And I do believe that I'm supposed to be in that building. I told Sal at Summer Smash, I was just like, man, I'm so happy to be back. He goes, you were never supposed to go. I was like, yeah, man, I'm a lifer. Even if it's a lifelong customer, like I'm a lifer. And like find something you can be a lifer of.
A lifer, a freelancer, and an entrepreneur. What's like, you know, like how do you enjoy it? Like how would you describe like what you're doing now and like it not being the regular 9 to 5 and stuff and just naturally truly enjoying what you got going on?
It's weird being your own boss.
It is.
I don't know who the fuck gave me permission to tell myself to do things. unadulterated. Unaccompanied. But I mean, I guess I'm doing okay. It's cool because like I'm making the conscious decision to like go to bed earlier. Like I used to be a huge night owl. I'd be up to like 1 to like 4 in the morning just by nature of habit. That doesn't happen anymore. Usually I'm in bed by like 10 to midnight and my body like naturally just wakes up at 7 a.m.
That's me too.
I don't know why. It's a great time though.
Yeah.
It's the day is perfect. Like it's not private enough in the mornings. I will give it that. But like all the same, I like to have a little morning routine. I typically, journal, do some mindfulness stuff.
Coffee, blunt.
coffee. Actually, no, I've not been roasting in the mornings while I've been on 75 hard.
Okay.
Chugging the fuck out of some water, getting some movement in. And then usually I am doing editing work or meeting with clients anywhere from like usually 10 a.m. to like, I don't know, could be 8 p.m. Finish up my second workout. Then I blunt. And then I'm trying to crash.
Dude, when I when you were doing the 75 hard, when I met you doing the pod with Sir, this man was shooting the camera. I'd go over, hit like 20 push-ups, come back, chase a couple times. He's like, I got to stay moving. I was like, damn. He's like, hit a couple more push-ups. He'd be stretching. You remember that?
I did do that.
Yeah, you were moving like the whole podcast.
Bruh.
You were staying active, though.
I hit a whole-ass workout in Sir's barbershop.
And shot,
and it was like 9 p.m. Damn. Mm-hmm. Man, okay, I was doing some shit back then. I wasn't giving myself enough credit. You know what I'm saying?
But yeah, that's why I was like, yeah, this dude's on the grind. He's on the grind. Let's talk some festivals talk. Affordable ones to go to as a starter. How would you I guess the Chicago one I'm going to tag along to.
All right, so here's my thing. There is actually, no, if you want to go to an affordable festival, there is one.
I mean, nothing's really, you got to spend some money to do anything you want to do in this world, but.
You do, but you can find some gems. Now, here's the policy, and Mark told me this. And if it comes from Mark, typically it's gospel.
Right.
Mark has never really steered me wrong. And with the festival thing, I give him full credit for this because he goes, Murph, we're going to go to this festival. It's called North Coast. It's in Chicago on Labor Day weekend. I'm like, all right, cool. He goes, look at this lineup. And for those of you who like EDM out there, it was Griffin. It was Armin Van Buren. It was Illinium, Said the Sky, Two Friends. Like, North Coast, y'all had no business with this lineup. Seven Lions, like, Slander. Like,
I guess once I get in the EDM world, I'll appreciate Griffin. Them.
Yes, you will, because there's no better live experience. And I mean that, because, like, when you see your favorite artist is human and performing, and, like, they cough, they can mess up. Maybe sometimes they don't sound good over their intercom. But, like, with EDM, the energy is so infectious, and, like, the songs are as perfect as you remember them, and the DJ is doing shit that you didn't even know they could do. You get to feel their energy, and it's hard as fuck. Like, there is, and obviously there are some other activities going on that right. make it that much better. But it is its own thing. And so the thing is, like, he's like, but here's the thing. We're going VIP. I'm like, what's the difference? And, bro, there is some affordable stuff. There's something called Breakaway next week. It's got Zed and Griffin. You will never have a more fun, like, poppy EDM experience than those two DJs. That's in Kansas City next week. That's about $100.
You're going?
No, I'm not. That's when I got to go to Virginia Beach.
Oh.
But as far as, like, my policy with festivals, not shows, but festivals, go VIP. Spend the extra money. Because here's the thing. You like standing in long lines?
No.
No?
No.
Especially out in the heat?
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
All right, cool. You like dirty ass crowded bathrooms?
Nah.
All right. You like long lines for concessions?
Nah.
All right, cool. You want to be packed in like a sardine with a bunch of other sweaty, nasty motherfuckers?
It's your own party, VIP.
You get shorter lines. You get cleaner, air conditioned bathrooms. You know what I'm saying? You get shorter lines for concession, and you get that little private VIP viewing area where you ain't packed in like a sardine. You can move free. You can feel the wind, and like you can actually enjoy your motherfucking self. So. Just for example, this was last year. Like, VIP was like $450.
I sent
it.
That's not bad.
It ain't. But for the amount of artists you get to see, for the time you get to have, nah, it's worth it. So, personally, I like North Coast. Breakaway is going to be a cheap one. Typically, like, if you can keep it under, like, 30,000 people, that's when it's just, like, a couple $100 to have, like, the best time. There's also one coming up called Dance Festopia in Kansas City. That'll be the next week after North Coast, so, like, the weekend after Labor Day. I very much like sparing no expense, though. I went to EDC Vegas. I'm still paying for it.
Damn.
It's tough, but Vegas is tough. Vegas is hard. You got to drive like an hour out to the venue every night, and that's a lot of Uber. That's a lot of entertainment. EDC Orlando is about...
You're staying like all day?
No. You stay all night.
Till the morning?
Yeah. From dusk till dawn.
Holy shit.
From dusk till dawn. You get there at like 11, and you leave at like 7 a.m.
So you guys sleep all day?
No, you sleep for like 2-3 hours, and then you start doing shit again. No, dog, it's team no sleep. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I liked EDC Orlando a lot. That's more of like you get there about mid-evening, and Orlando's just an awesome city. It's a lot of fun, and it's a little bit more intimate. For reference, Vegas was about 500,000 people.
Oh, my gosh.
At 11 p.m. till 7 a.m. All right. So EDC Orlando is about 250,000 people, and that still feels overwhelming. But you get there.
But you remember some faces.
I didn't say you remembered shit. If I can get there about 4 p.m., you're going to stay till about midnight. And you can get a hotel that's like walking distance from that venue. I love EDC Orlando. I want to go to Ultra in Miami, though. That's like, again, 500,000 people. And it's like, it's big. It's in downtown Miami. They like block off downtown Miami for it.
Jesus Christ.
So you ain't got to go to all of them with me, but like, I'm just letting you know.
No, I want to go to North Coast for sure.
All right, cool.
I'm locked in.
You know Marshmallow?
Yeah.
Marshmallow's going to be there.
Okay, cool.
Friday night.
Okay.
If you know Marshmallow, you won't have a good ass time.
All right.
DJ Snake, like,
I've heard of Snake.
I saw DJ Snake in Vegas. But that's the other cool thing. It's like when you go to bigger festivals like EDC Vegas, you can get like a band that gets you into like all day pool parties for like $150, and you can see like three opener DJs and one big name DJ. And that's before you go out to see the biggest spectacle in live EDM.
That's tough. I can't wait.
It's gonna be fun.
I can't wait. Man, your podcast platform, talking your IG, like, I like how you you take the camera work and kind of you make it pay off for yourself too, with, you know, cutting your morning routine and kind of giving you know, you might give something motivational over a movie quote or whatever, but just how do you, like, what's your take on that,
how I go about like creating my content?
Yeah, and that, and like your podcast platform.
Sure.
Like, are you still kind of working on that?
So I'm going to start with the podcast, because that's something I've needed to address for a while. And I think being on yours is going to be one of those things that like inspires me to get back to it. But when the summer really started to take off.
This summer?
Yes. That was about the last time I recorded an episode, was in March.
Yeah.
And I recorded it with my homie Alex. And we were actually going to break off and start our own thing called like Zero Apologies. It was just going to be us being apologetic about current events. But I was just not in the place to like do it at the time, because I was going through a lot of intimate stuff.
That sounds like a taxing podcast.
Being critical is hard.
Oh, yeah.
Because, again, you got to have a high standard. I also realized that my standard wasn't where it should have been. So we had this plan. It didn't really work out. And shout out to my dude, like, great businessman. He's going to do great things in media. But I decided I wanted to take time off, because part of having a brand and part of creating content is like knowing who you are, which is also knowing who you aren't. And with the breakdown of my podcast before, which was called Can We Talk About This? It was a breakdown of like personal development, current events, politics. But it was just such a broad spectrum of things I wanted to talk about. Like, I couldn't stay focused with it. And I think with where I want to go with it now is I want to use video broadcast a lot more to do things like YouTube and Rumble. And I do want to get back to doing more current events and political takes and just focus on that. And that's going to be exhausting. That's going to be taxing. But I'm not trying to do it from like a partisan space. Like, oh, you have to think like this. No, I want it to be like, as a human taxpayer, I feel bad about this, or I feel great about this. I want to get back to that. As far as like my content on Instagram, I mean, it says in my bio, travels, opinions, the loo, development, things like that, media. That's kind of what you can expect out of my content. And I'm always trying to do something. I'm always trying to like teach someone something. I'm always trying to inspire someone, or I'm trying to make them laugh or smile. Those are the most valuable things that you can do with social media. And I've done it to great avail, because like when I got to First Form, I had 700 followers, you know. I almost got like 10,000 now.
Yeah.
And that's not very much, but that was off all organic growth and not really having the best game plan. As far as creating content, I've been told I have like the gift of gab. I haven't shut the fuck up this whole podcast.
That's why we podcast.
Exactly. You know, putting me to good work over here. But I was told by so many people, like, bro, you got the gift of gab. And Andy, he says, bro, if you don't use that ability to do something with your media, you are going to lose out on a lot of good things in life. So.
Yep.
That's really why I try to do the kind of content I do. Try to be unapologetic too.
Oh, for sure. If you're gonna do something, you can't be sorry about it. That's a part of taking risk.
Yeah,
it really is. That's what's up though. I like how you take some time and you haven't gave up, but you're just kind of resurfacing, because that takes time in the podcast world, you know. But I love how you were coming with it. Your fear podcast was dope and stuff. I love how you just really tap into the more things that, you know, we need to tap into, but it's more reflects within yourself. You know, you're not just bullshitting out there. So stay with it. And then when you get back to it, good luck. I'll be listening.
Appreciate it, bro.
Yeah, what else we got? Oh, got a question for me, and then we'll do some cannabis talk.
Okay. So I know that this is going to be like one of... Actually, what is a fear you're trying to conquer right now? Like, what is
a fear?
Yeah. What are you scared of right now?
I'm not really scared of much.
Just like anything, like about,
man,
like,
I'll tell you why I'm not scared of much, like, you know, and that's just like my own thing, like, you know, just really practicing with psychedelics. You know, I had a fear, you know, I wouldn't say I was fearing death. Like, I really just had a fear of just not knowing of, like, the future, you know? And just, like, what it held. Like, just being, like, broke, jailed. Like, I don't even know. And, you know, mushrooms really gave me a part of, you know, being able to feel, you know, something, like, just feel out of me. But, like, I'm here. Mm-hmm. And just that makes me feel like, okay, the future's going to be all right, you know? Because, like, you know, just, you know, that ride within, like, because when I practice, you know, I'm eating like an eighth of mushrooms, you know, I'm really like enhancing.
Oh, yeah.
And like, you know, seeing some things and going to the movies. But when I'm watching the movies, it's like bringing me a different picture that's teaching me something within my life that's like, I'm like, all right, you know, I can really reflect. That's why I love movies, you know, it's one of the best creations of art ever. Like, all movies are different and there's thousands of them. That's why I love it and study it. But I really don't fear much because of that, man. Like, the practice of, you know, psychedelics have really just, I've had a lot. I've had bad trips where I've like, man, like, I ain't gonna wake up from this. But that's like taught me something, you know, like that taught me something different. And the first time, like, practicing with LSD and stuff, like, that woke me up to really cut people off. Dude, the next day when I got sober, I was cutting people off my life, my phone and stuff. And I don't talk to no more, but that shit was for the better. Kept me out of jail and shit like that. And it's just like wake up calls and doing your own study on that stuff. And then like coming back and reflecting on this, what I'm saying, you'll know. But yeah, I really don't fear a lot besides God and death, and that's all gonna come.
No, I mean, I think that's awesome, and I'm happy for you. But the reason I went to that question is because I feel like, as far as even like as far as my parents have been alive, my pops is in his 80s for what it's worth. My mom's in her 60s.
Great life.
They see a lot of shit, you know.
Great life though, blessed.
Absolutely, 100%. And like, again, they seem young as ever, which makes me really happy. But like, they even admitted to, like, these are the most uncertain times they've ever felt in their life. So, like, I thought that was something.
These
that,
years?
Yeah. Like, I mean, again, what are the early 2020s?
Yeah, like I said earlier in the podcast, like, I go day to day, like, I don't know what's going on, but it's its own journey, you know? And I'm okay with that, not, you know, not knowing what's coming, but I'm trusting myself as a man and how I hold myself and how I speak to people and how I give my deliverance to people. I give respect where it needs to be given, and I stand my ground where it needs to be stood. You know, no one's gonna trump over me to where, like, you know, like, I'm okay within myself and holding against anything that comes, because like, this life thing's a something you got to hold your own ground in.
Yeah,
you know, so fine. Being uncertain, you know, we might be uncertain of all situations, but you know, you got to be able to hold your own ground when it comes. You know what I'm saying?
No, I can appreciate that. I think that's great, because I like the on journey part.
Yeah,
whatever's meant to be is meant to be.
Meant to be, yeah. You know, for sure. Every day's a journey.
Yeah, bro. I go to bed and I'm...
You know, like, my dad, my brother, my older brother, he died on Mother's Day in front of my mom in 2016. So, like, I just had to... That took me a different journey of life, you know? Just, like, when that happened, I couldn't believe it for, like, a month, because, like, that's, like, it's your first friend, you know? But, like, that's when I just start living, like, everything to the fullest, like, taking risks, because, like, you know... Shit, I'm just thankful to be 25. A lot of black kids don't see that outside of bars or death. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I like to be where I am in life and down here from this area, you know. A lot of people expected me to, like, be in jail just because, like, you know, I'm black. And that's fucked up, but that gives me the motivation of, like, you know, carrying myself, you know, a different way every day and just being able to, you know, just taking the drive, doing what I want to do, like the podcast question earlier, you know, just taking the gamble of keep doing that, you know, like, some, you know, who wants to hear young black boy podcasting, but I tap in with everybody, different people, and talk to all different people. But, and you know, it just takes getting uncomfortable to get comfortable sometimes. And I feel like I got to do that for people to get to know me. No. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel much. I don't fear a lot because I went through all that. Like, I held protests in this area, bro. Mm-hmm. And that was big fear. Like, people coming out the woodworks with straps and stuff, like Uncle Tom, Uncle Phil, you know, their nephews. And, dude, I'll show you pictures after this, but that, like, yeah. And people thought we were coming to destroy the town that I live in, too. But, no, I'm just trying to tell you why Black Lives Matter, truly. Like, I ain't no BLM and stuff, like, trying to come and loot and all that. Like, no, I just want to tell you guys, like, why Black Lives Matter, truly. And, like, you know, why it's a fear getting pulled over and stuff. You know, I've done all those things where, like, I've stood my ground in different situations where I'm like, I'm okay, you know. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot in life, too, being 25, but I just had to live faster. Mm-hmm. You did. You have, too, yeah. You know.
That was kind of the thing that I had to, like, tap into was, I mean, like you said, you don't have a lot of fear because you're doing everything you can to put yourself in a position to win.
Yes.
You have a lot to fear when you're not making a move to help yourself.
Yes.
And that's why a lot of people try to fake it till they make it. And that's why a lot of people get desperate. And that's, it's, I'd rather be stressed out and anxious because I'm trying to do something starting from behind the eight ball. Like, I should not have had the career that I did. I should not have the business that I do because, again, I'm a convicted felon. I did a lot of things that a lot of people would die in jail for or just die for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised I'm alive. And I do still have fears. Like, there are things that scare me. The last few years of life have really scared me in terms of, like, how real things can get and how much we take for granted. And I could give it to you in 100 different facets. But, I mean, if you face what scares you, you conquer yourself. That's where the ultimate freedom comes from.
Yeah, bro. I used to be at that, trust me, I used to be at that stage where I was stealing shit, you know, owing people money, shit like that. That's when I was really fearing shit. Like, I wasn't living right, you know.
Man.
I couldn't, like, I just wasn't living right with myself, you know, and just shit. Like, I just wasn't a good friend. I wasn't a good person. That's when I was fearing shit the most. Like, shit, who gonna come up and knock my ass out just because I own, like, $10, $20? But I had to get out of that shit and start living different, you know. And that, and the small thing is just communicating, being honest with people, mm-hmm. and, you know, small shit like that, and, you know, your friends and shit like that. So once I start coming over that and, you know, turning 25 and, you know, not being 18 no more, I'm glad I did a lot of that shit in 18, you know. I just overcame a lot, so. That was a great question. I love that one.
I'll try, man.
Cannabis talk. You say you started smoking at 18. You came into it late.
The first time I ever smoked, I was 16, but I don't really count that because it was
like a 10-man circle, probably.
No, it was just me and my homie at the time. He lost like 50 pounds in the last couple of years. Good for him. Like, I don't really talk to him or chuck it up with him anymore. But, like, I saw that, and I'm really happy for you if you ever hear this. He was kind of, he was that friend that, like, was kind of a bad influence and, like, I always wanted to hang out with, but I knew my parents would gripe at me. And
they kept the distance.
They kept the distance for me. But, like, I would always, like, sneak my way back in. But you got to remember, like, I was a little dare kid. Like, I didn't want to party or do anything, like, when I was 16. And he was like, man, fuck that. You grow up a little bit. And I'm like, I guess I got to be cool. Fucking stupid.
Right.
And so he gets, like, the most armpit butthole ass weed and he hollows out half a cigarette and we hit it, and they joke about how you don't get high for the first time. I was sitting there just laughing on the middle of a stool just like I am right now, and his dad walked through and looked at me and he fucking shook his head like, my dickhead, don't reveal to your dad I'm high, you fuck. Like, I didn't even want to be here today, and like, it's like fucking 7 o'clock in like May, and like, how old was I? 16, so like 2009. Fucking, I was listening to like All Time Low and Fallout Boy and Screamo and shit. I had tight skinny jeans on, and like, I wanted to get through life never doing drugs or fucking drinking alcohol. Didn't happen. That did not happen. That all came to a crash that day. But then I didn't talk to him for a little while. We became cool again. And then when I turned about 18, my homie was like, hey, I know you don't smoke weed.
I know this.
But I'm gonna get you high. Because it's Friday.
You ain't got no job.
You ain't got shit to do. So, I got to tell you this story because this man, this fuck is shit. So this man, his dad was a doctor, was doing very well. His house has an elevator in it. He made sure I got the royal ass treatment. He filled up a pipe. They didn't even have no power hitter on it. That's how high school he was. And we started puffing this weed, and he sits me down in a massage chair. And I ain't talking about no little pad. I'm talking about them shits you see at the mall.
Right.
You can give them $1.25 and you won't sit.
Feet rub and all that.
And you'll be there for the next 12 minutes. You won't try to live there. You know what I'm saying? And fucking, he sits me in one of those. He gives me a Star Crunch. Do you know what Star Crunch
yeah,
is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Star Crunch is fire.
Fire. It's like, oh, I got to try to stay away from all that, though.
Yeah, I don't eat that shit no more. Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know, it's like a waffle cone, like 100 gram
on it.
Yeah, man. It's like a 100 gram mixed with a Crunch bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's fire.
That's the best. Yep.
It's fire.
Yep.
And he turns on Gabriel Iglesias, hot and fluffy. You know which one mm-hmm. that is? Oh my God. Yeah.
He's always got the Hawaiian shirt buttoned up.
Yes, fluffy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm having the best time ever. I'm having the best time ever. My homie taps me. It's been like 15 minutes. It felt like it's been 4.5 years. He goes, bro, you got to go. What? It smells like weed in here. My parents are about to be home. Fuck. I have to drive.
Oh, yeah.
But 10 and 2. Stay between the lines. I look like the most lunch milk ass kid ever. Like, I ain't getting pulled over. I got a beat up old Toyota Corolla 98. It was awful. It was really bad.
In Melville?
Yeah, in Melville.
Melville's a good spot.
It's all right. It's still Melville. I'm super critical because I was born and raised there. You know what I'm saying?
And then college, you Do you smoke?
Oh my God, bro. Like, I was ignorant about how much I would smoke. I would go to class high. I would go to everything high. Like, I became known as like that dude who you could count on to smoke weed with, because I was scared of so much my whole young life. Like, it's true. Like, you thought weed like demotivated you and turned you into like some kind of person. And for some people that's true, because some people like being.
Yeah, for sure.
And but I didn't want to be that. I wanted to be slick and sly the way we fly. You know right. what I'm saying? I found my way. No, because that was the thing. I started finding my way out to the city with people that was really hanging out and really doing stuff. And they were like, all right, cool. Like, they're like, you don't talk like regular people. What do you mean? They're like, you ain't scared to say shit with some bass in your chest. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, I ain't scared of shit.
Yeah.
I was scared about a year before. But that was the thing, man. Like, I just started really digging in. And, like, I got off on the fact that I was known as the cool-ass white boy that could roll a pearl-ass blunt.
Mm-hmm.
And so that transitioned into, okay, well, I don't want to pay for weed anymore. How do I do this? Homie gives you a quarter. He goes, bring me back $90. I'm like, oh, shit, there's worth a lot more than $90. He goes, I know, dumbass.
Yeah.
And that turns into a half, and then a zip, and then two, and then four. And then, I mean, still to this day, like, and I've run through the gambit of drugs. Like, I've done a bunch of psychedelics. I've done a lot of other things I don't feel comfortable saying over this microphone. That's a joke. But, like, you know, I've partied with a bunch of shit the average college kids party with, and then some. But the thing is just like weed has always been something that I think has always improved my quality of life.
For sure.
I've had to move off blunts because I started noticing.
You're a paper guy?
I am by choice a blunt guy, but I smoke papers because I do a lot of things that require a lot of conditioning. Like, if you smoke blunts and do jujitsu, I don't.
You're going to feel that shit?
Oh my God.
But do you vape and shit?
I
feel like you get more of that from that than the blunt.
Nah, that tobacco, bro, because since I move off the tobacco, I can breathe deeper. I
still vape though?
Not very much.
It's like nicotine, though.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. Okay, you're good then. Yeah, I can believe that.
Yeah. So that was why I moved off blunt. So, you know, I'm getting old. Time is of the essence. Time is money. So I'm packing cones and shit. I like dabs a lot.
Dabs are worth that.
You ever been ninja dabbed?
A ninja dab?
It's when you've been hitting the dab and someone's doing the honors for you and you don't see another dab coming and they do it the exact same time. That was the highest I've ever been in my life. It was the most scared I had ever been.
I used to just snake them out, like take a dab and then snake it out because it's real long and just, you know, all in one. And then just like, dude, I used to do it like rough, like no water, dry.
Oh, my God.
You know how harsh that is?
Yeah, I do. Do you want to hear about something harsh?
What?
So my homie, you know how we were talking about like conquering ourselves and like who you can turn into when you make the right decisions? This is how I know my homie was no good, like in terms of like his thought process. And shout out to you. I hope you're doing well. Like, I don't mean nothing ill by it. But like this dude like got off on doing heinous shit. And so we were dry ripping a bong, which we were 19. We thought we were cool. And like, I'd never done it. So like, hey, Murph, come over here, do this thing. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm coughing my face off. And he goes, I'll do you one better. He goes, chalk mine up just full of tobacco. And we all looked at this man like, what the fuck? Did you say you're going to dry rip a bong full of tobacco? He goes, yep. Okay. We're like, no, you're not. He did it, and he didn't cough. He straight-faced all of us.
God, that tastes like chimney smoke.
Bro, I knew he was different from that day forward. We don't hang out no more, but like.
Built different.
You want to talk about mental toughness? That's some shit.
So you're definitely a wax guy over the flower.
I think I'm more productive on wax. Like,
what about wax, flower, edible?
No, don't give me an edible.
Don't give you?
No. Like, if I'm eating edible, we can't be doing shit. Like, I don't want to go to no movie. I don't want to
sleep.
I just get really paranoid on edibles. I get like so stoned to like my insides are like cold. I can't stop shaking and like I'm scared of fucking everything. I'm not having a good time.
Right.
I think out of like the hundreds of times that I've eaten edibles, maybe 10 times have been enjoyable. That's not a good return on investment.
No.
So I like blunts if I'm just in a hangout mood like we did that today. Otherwise, dabs, pens. And joints will be my everyday, like, now necessity. I would say, like, blunts are like dessert.
Go to cannabis and STO because most of them, like, bro, these cannabis ain't hidden.
Okay, so.
These can't, like, dude, I can go get this gas off the street.
Yeah.
Half ounce for a fire.
Yeah.
And then I'm going.
Cheap, too.
Cheap. That's paid all day.
So here's what I'm going to say. If I'm going to a dispensary, I have a lot of love for the people at Kind Goods.
I haven't been there.
You should go, the one in Grabois Bluffs, And it's not because the selection is great or because it's cheap or anything. It's because the people are great.
Yeah.
My friend Brandon, he's been a really, really big part of that over there. And pretty much everyone who I've met over there. I did some content with them one time.
Yeah,
some,
I saw. Loved it. With some, Cato and
yes,
Mark.
I met Cato there. Mark was there. We were, man, and they got us so fucking high. Like, Lindsay, that was the name I was trying to think of. Lindsay, you're a sweetheart. You've always been kind to me. Thank you. But if I'm going to a dispensary in the local St. Louis area, that's where I'm going. If I'm buying weed at the dispensary, I'm buying Amaze Cannabis. Like, I had to
prefer. What's that?
Amaze Cannabis is a local brand. I did business with them for about 2 months. I was representing them. They treated me very well. They always had really high quality product. Their Florida orange is really, really good. It smells and tastes just like orange, which is hard to come by.
Yeah.
Their waxes are next level. They're live rosins. But here's the thing. I got to hold it down for the union, man. Like, support your local guy down the block.
Yes.
Support your local guy down the block.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. I'm a libertarian by my you see, y'all don't see that, but we just knucked up real
quick.
I'm a libertarian by political philosophy. I very much dislike taxes. And in life, you won't have two constants, death and taxes. I still have a lot of love for the dudes who hustle it out and who are going to great lengths to do it. But, like, they really ain't hurt nobody. And now, like, the law here in Missouri, they're just like, do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
As long as we don't see you moving big money, we don't fucking care.
Yeah.
So that's my thing. Here in St. Louis.
And you can get the license to cultivate, too, and stuff. So a lot of people are just going to grow away. And a lot of these, your local guy down the block is learning how to grow. And,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
Bro, I remember, like, back when we was doing moves to Colorado and shit, people would walk. They'd be like, oh, that right there, you see that truck? Yeah. See that trailer behind it? Yeah, it's full of weed. What? Bro, it's 2016. He goes, yeah, it's legal here. Okay.
Yeah.
Those were the days.
Times are crazy now.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Bro, still support your local guy down the block, though.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, times are crazy. You can get a hat for $100 now, and I remember buying Ace for $60.
Bro, I got a Zip for $70.
Damn.
Yeah. It wasn't no little neither.
So fire.
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 Crack.
Hey, man, you know we all turn it. You know what time it is. We're about to tune into the Swerving Q&A, and we're going to dive in with Murph. You know the one I got to ask everybody. If stranded on the island for 30 days and you had to take 5 albums, what are you taking?
Okay, so, like, do all-time greatest hits count?
No. No, because that's, like, no.
Oh, all right.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah?
Because I think, yeah, Sir took one. He took an all-time greatest hits.
Oh,
yeah.
I was actually there for that.
Yep. Go ahead.
It's so hard.
He took the Rick James greatest hits.
I'm sure he did. Okay, man, this is really tough. Like, because I like so many different kinds of music. So I guess I'm going to try to pick one from each of my favorites. So I would probably do from hip hop. This is hard. Help me decide on the hip hop one. Ready to Die or Life After Death? Biggie. That's hard.
I'm going to go Life After.
Okay, Life After Death. Yeah, it's the more polished album. It's
polish.
All right, we'll go with that. Man, this shit's so fucking hard. Ooh, probably the Battle of Los Angeles by Rage Against the Machine. Like,
I heard of the band, haven't heard of the album.
Rage Against the Machine had one of the greatest runs in album history, and they haven't put out an album like.
Is that metal?
It's like rap and metal put together.
Okay,
not like new metal though. New metal, it was trying to be.
Is new metal? Is that the hair metal shit? Is that what you call it?
No, that's glam metal.
Oh, okay.
Like, new metal is like Korn.
Okay.
You know, they got dreads and shit. Limp Bizkit. It's not exactly like that. It was way more political, but it's like super angry. It's super insightful. And this was their last album, and it's not even like their best album, their last studio album, but it's an album I really like. So I'm probably going with that. I'm going with probably Johnny Cash's greatest hits, if I'm being honest. Like, there's a Johnny Cash song for fucking everything.
Johnny Cash is fire.
Johnny Cash
has a great guy to drink beer to.
Absolutely. Like, man, you're going to have a good old time. You got to listen to some Johnny Cash. You know what I'm saying? Don't play with me. Probably Enter the 36 Chambers by Wu-Tang. It's one of my favorite albums of all time. I haven't picked no EDM yet.
Hey. Oh, no, look. Who? Up behind you. No, left. Straight. Now look straight.
I'll see it.
The Wu-Tang album. Left of the...
Oh, there it is. Yeah, that's my shit right there. All right, so I'm at 4 right now.
Wu-Tang's fire.
Wu-Tang is fire. This last one's going to be really, really hard. What's a good EDM album? oh, Slander live at EDC 2023, because it's just like an hour-long mix of a show that I saw live, and from beginning to end, it's fucking fire. So those are probably going to be my five.
Okay. So the live is fire on the album.
Yes. Okay. That's actually something I really love about EDM, is like the live albums. Because, again, they're just playing a song that's like made to be played live. Like, music that's made to be played live, that's like studio recorded, versus like what you hear on your phone is totally different. So it's like,
oh yeah,
hearing that live experience again, I've listened to it front to back probably like 10 times in the last week.
That's what's up. Podcast talk / what podcast interests you?
Okay, so I don't digest a lot of podcasts personally, but the ones that I'm pretty religious to, obviously, I'm not even going to say the we already talked about him earlier, so I'm not going to say his name. He doesn't need any free press, Joe Rogan. Andy, gotta pay the fee. Real AF with Andy Frisella. It's a podcast that literally changed my life. It's a podcast that I am sometimes on the set of. If you're into personal development, you are into contemporary events, you want to laugh, you want to learn some shit, you want to grow from a guy who has been in business for 24 years, who has employed me, who, you know, I get to do some of the stuff on the podcast now. I cannot recommend it enough.
There's, very versatile podcast, you would say?
Yeah. It takes no money from advertisers, does not advertise his podcast at all, and does not fake you on anything he thinks or feels. You will learn. You will grow. If you are trying to do anything in business, listen to Andy's fucking podcast. You want to hear great guests? Listen to Andy's fucking podcast. I'm a big fan of Tim Pool, Timcast.
I haven't heard of him.
Tim Pool is a dude who was originally from Chicago. He was there for the Occupy Democrat Wall. No, it wasn't the Occupy Democrats. That's the page. The Occupy Wall Street. That was when he got his start, like live broadcasting it. And over the last couple years, he's really shown me what independent media can do. He's only been out for like a couple years, and he employs like 30 people. He gets like a million views on every video. He's really bossing out there. I like, obviously, I'm on your podcast.
Appreciate that.
If you're here for a reason,
right?
You know what you're getting. Shout out to Mark, Joe, and Jeff Lavecchio too for the Give More Be More podcast. Yeah. Two of my favorite people in the whole wide world. They come from very different positions. Mark is an entrepreneur who owns Omen Coffee here in St. Louis.
Shout out Omen, great coffee.
He was also the top salesperson at 1P for 3 years in a row.
That's on Washington Ave, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Check Omen it out on Washington. Coffee. Best coffee in St. Louis, no 100%. Cap, none whatsoever.
Get the chai. Oof.
Get the SEMA special.
Ooh, I need to get that one.
Get that. I'm probably about to go get one after this. I ain't gonna lie to you. I don't gotta work out after this. You know, I need some caffeine. But that's really where I'm at. All right, this one's a little political, and like I don't think most people will agree with it, but like I like the Ben Shapiro podcast. Like I like Ben. I like listening to him.
I've heard of it.
He's cool. Most people don't like Ben Shapiro because Ben Shapiro talks like this. And all those who actually know what he sounds like, you know that I'm doing actually a pretty good impression of what he sounds like. But That's super conservative media politics stuff. Like it's my and Bill Maher. That's not a podcast, but that's like my other side of the equation that I listen to every now and again. So
that's what's up.
That's where I'm at.
I can fuck with that. STL creators that interest you.
Oof. So I was at a show, an EDM show. And would you count music as a creator?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I saw there were two opening acts before Slander, who I've seen six times since the original North Coast. Their names
from STL?
No, Slander's not. Slander's okay. From LA. But their two opening acts were Jarny and Effie. They were these two DJs, both girls. One had a much more chill vibe, but it was still awesome. The other one had a super upbeat, dancey vibe. Jarny did. And they were really, really great. I want to shout them out because I got to connect with both of them after that show. Y'all did an amazing job, so I want to shout them out. As far as like creatives, I got to shout out Little Miss St. Louis, Grace Rosella. That's Grace.
Oh, Grace. Yes. Awesome page.
I really shout out Grace, not only because she like puts it down for St. Louis, but I've watched her build her brand from when she had like less followers than me. She had like 2,000 at the time, and in a matter of like a year and a half, she built up to 100K, like 125K.
Yeah.
And so after the great purge of like the algorithm on Instagram, like she's still 100K strong. Like I don't think anyone does a better job really being authentic for the camera and showing off St. Louis, and that makes me really happy. Obviously Mark, I helped Mark with a few things, but just seeing what his podcast has done and just what he does with his social media. Again, I saw him build his brand from nothing to what it is now. His brother, Matt, one of the best photographers you'll ever meet. One of the coolest dudes, one of the best stories you'll ever meet. I could go on and on. So
I got a story about Matt. I was detailing Mark's, outside of Omen. Mm-hmm. And you know, how Matt usually comes in at like, he'll come in a little later in the morning.
Yeah.
And I knew who he was, but he didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
So I got Matt's doors open in his car and shit, cleaning it. And he comes up. He's like, hey, bro. You got a problem? I'm like, I just did that. I just laughed at him. He said, it's my brother's truck. I said, I know, man. I'm just cleaning it. He said, oh, all right. And he kind of just like was walking in and, you know, was like looking at me. But then I know he went in and talked to Mark. And then like I came in, was done with Mark's car. And he's like, oh, shit, man. He's like, he's that.
Oh, shit, man. You pee.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. He's like, I was like, yeah, man, I'm cool. Like, shit, you think I'd just be all, I'm not one of them black guys that's all up in his car trying to steal some shit broad daylight. Like, fuck that.
Nah.
Dude. Yeah, he was cool, though. He was chilling. That cracked me up, though.
That's what I love about those two is, like, they are so about their people.
Yeah.
And, like, once you are a part of, like, that circle, you're just taken care of by people who, they lead you a lot, man, because they've both been through a lot of hard shit. They're both really tough dudes. They both, I mean, Mark has taught me a lot about sales and business. Matt has really helped me on the creative side, and that's why I plug them both real quick. And just, I think it's really, really cool because, again, like you said, like, what are you doing in my brother's truck?
Yeah.
I'm cleaning it. I'm paid to be here right now.
Right.
All right, we'll see about that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit, dog, my bad. I love you. You good. Yeah. You want a coffee?
Yeah, he's cool. And then, dude, the first time I, that coffee shop is so Mark. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, just I learned through him, through you, you know, shouting out the coffee shop when it was going to open and stuff. And just ever since I, you know, grew on his Instagram page and stuff, that was someone I just wanted to meet in person. So that wanted me to get over and get to the coffee shop more. But ever since, like, you know, meeting him, it's just been like, even just being in and out the coffee shop, like, if I could sit and stay for an hour and do my shit, I would. Like, that's the vibe he brings to Omen, like, that home vibe. And, you know, like, the conversations you have while getting your coffee, like, even that, you know, he's always asking about you, and then something that leads to a good little talk. And that's big, though. You know, like, that's the biggest thing with them starting your morning, you know, rather than just going and getting your coffee and paying for that shit.
Yeah.
Like, he knows how to hold it down at the coffee shop.
Well, and when you look at some of the things that we said even earlier, was like, you know, if you make it about the other person, they'll make it about you.
Yeah.
What you just said. And a high-quality experience, a high-quality product. Okay, people want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And when you look at people who got hard backstories, you know, I won't tell his story, but, like, Mark has
great
been
story.
Through, he's been through way harder
need
shit.
Need him on here.
Yeah. He does need to be on here at some point. And, you know, it's hard for me to get a hold of him sometimes. He'll Mark is a minute of that. He's King of Murph. What are you doing tomorrow at 1 a.m.? Bro, it's 11 p.m. on today. He goes, what are you doing tomorrow at 1 a.m.? I don't know, Mark. What am I doing? He goes, you coming over. I'll tell you when you get here. All right, cool. So that's how hard he can be to lock down sometimes.
Right.
But as far as, like, what you can learn from, like, them, like, there's no excuses to why you can't do great things. And for they've sure. endowed that in me even more. So if you ever feel bad about where you're at in life, look at people who are doing great things who started from worse places than you.
Or go to the Omen Coffee Shop. And you leave with a lot of motivation.
Get you a SEMA special, there's 20 ounce.
Yep. Yep. And there's just a lot of, like, outside of them, there's just, like, they've created a good traffic in that coffee shop to where, like, there's a lot of people. Like, I met a lot of good people, good clients, getting their cars clean and stuff, but also, like, building relationships off that. Like, people appreciating their car being cleaned great, and that leads to, like, great convos and forever clients. So,
mm-hmm.
And that's what's up, bro. It brings that great vibe to it.
Yep.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I was thinking about this. This is something I said when I was a kid. I was like, I'm surprised I've made it to 30. I when I was a little kid, I thought I was going to be dead by 30, mostly because, not because I was getting...
Oh, you were living at 23?
No, when I was a kid.
Oh.
Like, when I was, like, a teenager.
Okay.
I've always had, like, the heart of a child, so for me to even be at the age of 30 and doing as well as I am, which, again, I got a long fucking way to go. I'm at negative one in terms of the tiers.
Still at prime time, baby.
It's one of those things that, like, I'm still coming to grips with, like, I'm not a kid anymore. So when I think about where I see myself in 5 years, and to say things like, I want a couple more properties, I want, like, between a half a mil and a mil in business credit, like, I want to be doing stuff like that. And I want to be able to have houses in different states. I want to be really producing. I want whatever projects I'm doing now to be, you know, 10, 20, 30X what they are. I don't know if I'll be married or have kids yet. There's someone who I care very deeply about, but, like, there's just always complications when you're in a situation like ours. So there's a lot of things that I hope for, and there's a lot of things I don't have the answer to, but I'm still going to be discovering me. Cause like I said at the beginning, bro, like, I'd like to believe I know who I am, but I have a long way to go to figuring out who I can be. So those are the things I'd like to have accomplished. I want to be happy. I want to be fulfilled. And I want to make sure that, like, when people do anything with me, that they are left better for the experience. I don't want to be, you know, a single service relationship to anyone, even if relationships end.
For sure. Hold up, and I'm gonna finish that.
You good?
We're chilling.
Cool.
And sorry about that. I thought the recording shut off, but it didn't. I was just also freak out mode.
You're good.
But yeah, what would you go back and see in the future? What would you go back and see in the future? Just in that question, look back a little bit. What would you go back and ask your 18 year? I mean, go and tell your 18 year old self.
First of all, invest in Bitcoin. Get you some motherfucking Bitcoin.
What, Cash App just said something like it was going down or something.
This is the thing, bro. Everything's cyclical.
You probably invested in back then, and then now you're up. But
yeah, you know. Okay, so do you know what Bitcoin is worth today?
No.
$30,000 per Bitcoin.
Per Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Yeah, but a year ago it was shitcoin.
But it goes up and down. It's very volatile. Every 4 years, crypto, there's this thing called the Bitcoin halving, where the amount of Bitcoins that are around, well, the supply is cut in half. When things obviously go down in supply, they become more valuable. Bitcoin, you could have bought for like pennies on the dollar. So imagine you bought $100 in Bitcoin when it was a dollar. It turned to 30,000. How much money would you have?
A lot.
If I could have told anything to my 18-year-old self, first thing, invest in Bitcoin. It goes up, it goes down, but you know what? There's a reason why it does what it does.
Are you still in or are you cashed out, though?
Like, oh, I didn't do anything then.
Oh.
Oh, back then? If I could redone it, oh, I would have gotten in, taken out a decent amount of it while the market was still high, invested in a bunch of shit, never would have gone into debt, businesses, real estate. Guess what? 4 or 5 years later, same thing.
You think you could live off investing in
I think if I knew what I knew
in
now.
Stock, in different stocks.
Just no, I would be only fucking with crypto. That's where what I've learned in the last few years, that's what I would have taught myself first. I would have gotten so far ahead. But on a more philosophical, like,
crypto's higher than the dollar.
It's not that it's, well, our dollar's not worth shit right now. Our dollar's worth very, very little because they keep printing money like they have a license to kill. And with that, like, they've, this is why they keep raising interest rates, because they have to drain the money supply. This is why everything's been expensive for the last few years. And what it's shown us is that the government can just make money out of nowhere. Well, that money, effectively, when they print it out of nowhere, the price of goods has to go up. So that's your dollar, which at your job, probably most people, not you or me, they're going to be making the same amount of money, and their company is going to start making cuts. Where do they make cuts to? They make it to the bottom line, the things that aren't producing. And so then what happens? You're doing more work for less money. That's because when you deal with this kind of stuff that our government does, that's the stuff I'm scared about. What crypto has done is it's given you not necessarily a safeguard from it, but it's giving you a hedge against inflation. And since it's so volatile, I mean, the age-old adage, buy low, sell high. Yeah, you can do that. You'll still have to pay some tax, but ultimately, that's how a lot of millionaires and billionaires have been made in like the last 15 years. And what I've been plugged into is like, hey, any spare money I have, I'm putting it over here. I don't trust banks very much. I don't trust our government, like, at all. I don't care who's in office. Government is more than the president. And so that's actually the other thing I would teach myself at that age. Because at that age, I was 18. I didn't know shit. I was still watching mainstream news. I would be like, hey.
Government is the fucking president.
Yeah. Government's a lot of things. Government is a lot of things. And the less of it that is in your business, honestly, the better, in my opinion. So I would tell myself that too. I'd be like, hey, be as independent as possible. Don't take out a lot of debt. Actually, I don't know if I'd tell myself not to take out the student debt, because I became who I was at that point. I learned a lot of hard lessons and I had a lot of fun. And in the grand scheme of things, $30,000 to pay back school, you know, it's honestly worth what I learned and what I went through. So I would probably be like, get that paid off as soon as possible though. Like, don't fuck around. Don't play.
Right.
Get out of debt as soon as possible. Invest in crypto. Learn what you can do with your proceeds, and don't do the stupid bullshit of getting caught in the rat race of life the way everyone else wants to live. Because if you live like everyone else, you ain't never going to be the best version of you.
Amen. Hey, do I have it?
This is not financial advice, by the way. I'm not a financial advisor.
But wait.
I can appreciate that.
He said, I am not a financial
advisor. I am not a financial advisor. This is not financial advice. This is all speculative. This is what I am doing for me and what I would tell my hypothetical 18-year-old self.
Man, it's been a great convo. And to wrap it up, and, you know, I've had great guests on, and you've been a part of that for season 5. Who's some STO great guests that you would like to see on Swervin'?
I definitely would like to see Mark and Jeff. I think it's cool when podcasts get together. I think that is something that, quite honestly, you guys could have a really long conversation. and you'd get a lot of input from
Jeff
the
Jeff seems like a cool dude, too.
Yeah, I didn't really get into who Jeff was. Real quick, Jeff was a professional hockey player for many, many years, and when he retired and came back to St. Louis, he started his own business where he trains and effectively coaches all athletes, but mostly professional hockey players.
Hockey's big in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah, it is.
CBC, all them schools are real big on hockey.
Yes.
We don't really have that down here in the South, but, yeah, hockey's really big in St. Louis, and, yeah, you got some kids. I was actually staying at the Sheraton last week, and it was crazy. This kid from Canada, I was sitting there eating in a restaurant, and he looks a little bit younger than me, but he was drafted by the Blues, but he was injured, you know, and he was for Canada, but they got him staying at the Sheraton and stuff, I guess, for practices or whatever, or he just might be staying there off his check. I don't know. But it was just really cool, like, just how he was just there. I was like, that's dope.
Yeah. I think it'd be cool to see Andy on the show at some point, too.
Yeah, that'd be cool, too. That'd be the guys I'm trying to tap into. But I feel like season 5 has really been that flourish year of my podcast where, like, the lineup of guests have really brought me to where I can at least a great guest to sit down to, like, Mark and Jeff and Andy and all that. But it takes a part of having great guests like you, too, first. So I wanted to have that.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. And two movies and two shows. Two movies for people to watch right now.
Two movies, like, do they have to be out right now?
Or anything.
All-time movies?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. So my two favorite all-time movies, I am a student of gangster movies, like, and newer age gangster movies. Like, don't get me wrong, like, the old shit is where it's at, but, like, I can quote two movies pretty much front to back, and they are Goodfellas and Pulp Fiction. They are by my two favorite directors, Martin Scorsese and motherfucking Quentin Tarantino. And
that shit, them are your favorite by them too?
Yes.
Okay.
I love both of those movies.
Django's fire.
Oh my god. Like, I mean, and again, I don't love every Quentin Tarantino movie. They're all good. I just don't love every single one of them. But those two movies, you have to watch Pulp Fiction twice. It's not in the right order.
I still haven't finished it.
What?
I'll get through it though, now that you love it. Just kind of slower start to one of his movies to me.
It's because all Quentin Tarantino movies are mostly focused around dialogue.
Yeah,
that's the thing. That's why I took after him. That's why I never shut the fuck up. And two shows. This is hard. It's hard from because I know a lot of TV shows, but I would probably say Breaking Bad and The Sopranos.
Breaking Bad's great. Sopranos is great too. Just worst ending ever.
You know, it's a very. Do you know what happens?
You think he died?
Yeah, he's dead. You know why?
How do you know that? So it went out. The TV went out.
No. Yeah, I was pissed. People were pissed.
I was pissed. Look, I rewinded it.
My mom was pissed. She goes, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, I rewinded it because I thought the fucking Wi-Fi went out. You know, yeah. I was watching it during COVID.
Okay.
I was not happy.
So there's all kinds of different little scenes that give it away that build up to that. But there's the one where Tony and Bobby are out on the boat. You know,
yes.
Steve Sherpa. He goes, you know, they say you probably don't even hear it when it happens. And I'm holding the gun to my head. You know, poof. He goes, yeah, probably not. And so after all that shit goes down, and spoiler alert, like, if you don't know how the end of The Sopranos.
You don't watch The Sopranos by now. Like, what are you doing?
All right, well, you're late.
Yeah.
Get your shit together. Best show ever. No. Yeah.
It's second to Breaking Bad?
Nah, it's the best show ever.
Breaking Bad?
There'd be no, it's better than Breaking Bad.
Oh. Yeah, it has great dialogue.
If it weren't for The Sopranos, there'd be no Breaking Bad. But I resonate more with Breaking Bad from, like, a contemporary standpoint. But so basically, Tony in his last season has become just, like, the most awful version of himself.
Oh, God.
And everything is hitting the fan. You know, his dudes are getting taken out left and right. He's having to have to do deals with the other side. And he actually takes out the dude who's trying to take him out. And he's like, well, it's either I take this dude out or I die or I'm going away to the feds. And then at the end of the fucking thing, which comes back to the original moment of the show, because at the end of the first season, do you know what they're doing?
God, it's been so long. No.
They're having dinner. It's just them inside of this restaurant. Well, where are they at the end of the episode?
Is that when they were getting the feds were setting up?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. So at the end of that first season, they're having dinner together, and he has a little talk. He's like, hey.
They were looking into the future?
Yep.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
As they get here, that's where his family was all together. Tony starts having panic attacks because the ducks leave his pond,
yep.
Which is a symbol of his family leaving him. So he lost all of his mafia family for the most part. Like, Paulie's alive, but Paulie's probably a rat.
For sure, 100%.
He's sitting there with his son and his wife. He should not be here right now. And what happens is Carmella Parks.
Mm-hmm.
Not Carmella, Meadow Parks. And she's running in. There's the guy with the members-only jacket. You know who gave him a members-only jacket?
The guy with the ponytail?
Nope. no, not Furio. It was Richie Aprile, who is Tony's sister, killed Richie Aprile. Mm-hmm. All right. And
yeah, I'm rewatching it now.
Now, okay, see, now you get it. And then there was Philly and Patsy Parisi. Okay, Patsy was about to kill Tony. A lot of Tony's guys actually ratted on him. Carlo was actually a rat.
Everything was folding in on Tony.
Absolutely. So when the members only dude goes away, guess what?
In the bathroom?
Yep. Meadow walks in. She's about to join her family, but she didn't make it in time. Tony didn't even hear it. Tony is dead.
Tony didn't hear what, Meadow?
No, Tony didn't hear the guy behind him.
Oh.
Killed. Now, we don't know.
Walking in the bathroom with him?
Yeah, we don't know if that's.
And the guy's for sure pulling out a gun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that is how I know that Tony is dead. And basically, David.
And the guy in the ponytail kills him, right?
No, it's not Furio.
He was in there.
No, Furio was back in Italy.
Oh, okay, okay. God, there was a lot of people in that. Kind of looks familiar, but the cuts they have before that happens, like, you're just like, man, it's a kind of eerie vibe in this restaurant.
And what song is playing?
It's been a few years.
Don't Stop Believing by Journey.
Oh, yeah.
Don't stop. And then it cuts to black. You just see James Gandolfini raise his head. He looks surprised. He is dead. Tony Soprano gets killed in that moment. That's how it ends.
I guess it is a great ending because you can skeptical on whatever.
You had to stomach. No, because here's the thing. I watched The Sopranos during COVID. I never saw the whole thing front to back. My parents have seen it like 50 times. And they'd be like, oh, here's the worst part in the whole season. No, that's like, it's actually kind of brilliant. And it pisses a lot of people off because they had to watch that and experience it for like 20 fucking years. Thinking that this is the worst ever. But when you actually look at how the story is told, it's like, no, there's a rhyme and a reason to all of it. And that is why you've got to watch that show.
That sucks. He really didn't get to live life outside of The Sopranos.
No, he didn't. He died, I think it was about 4 years later, five years later. Actually, no, he died in 2013. Rest in peace, James Gandolfini, dude.
Great. He's great in that show.
Man, you inspired me in ways I can't even talk about.
Great show. I'm at the rewatch. I'm probably going to start that when I get home.
See, I'm changing people's minds about The Sopranos right now. He's like, man, that ending's fire.
Murph, glad to have you, man.
Thanks for having me, bro.
This Swerving Season 5, Episode 9, baby. And we're out. Make sure you tune into Murph on IG at @thedaily_Murph. And hit him up for the content needed, videos if you need it, if he's got the time. Summer's hopping right now. So, yeah, make sure you tap in. This is Swerving. Make sure you tap into all the episodes. Had Nathan Wright on the Up Late STL. Had Brad and STL on, all food guys. Mark, hopefully you come on here in the future. And, yeah, go to Omen Coffee to get the great coffee, and it's been a great convo. Make sure you pause for the cause, too.
Pause for the cause.
Hey, we're out, baby.
See ya. Whew. You all right?